Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name. The message this morning got changed on the way over here. A thought came that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to have spoken about and kind of meditate on it for a little bit. The Word of God gives us precise and clear definition. This is why without the Word of God, my life becomes very imprecise and unclear. Things become very murky to me. Decisions become very difficult. Knowing what to do becomes my issue because I don't know how to think. I can only know how to think if I have the mind of Christ. Whenever somebody makes a decision, they have to make a decision such that it will not remove them from the Word of God, from their call, in fact. However, if let's say somebody has a temporary decision to make, in other words, should I do this for a season? I have something, should I do this for a season? Well, if it be God's will, then fine, but I have to consider in this, how am I going to deal with the Word of God in that season? For example, somebody may say, I want to go and visit Europe for a month or 2 months or 3 months or however, summer, I want to spend the summer in Europe. If it is the will of God, you don't make that kind of a decision carelessly, but if it is the will of God, then you have to account for how am I going to deal with the Word of God while I am in Europe. If I am away from my covering, from my church, from my provisions, what provisions will I have as I take on this endeavor? And a person must be prepared for that because otherwise they will very quickly become dull, and when they become dull, they will be undiscerning to the spiritual warfare. So when I make these types of decisions, considerations, I have to consider, what will I do about the Word of God? What will I do to keep my soul fed and fellowship present? Because God says, as you think in your heart, so are you. What will I do to maintain the mind of Christ? What will I do to have a supply? Before I make a decision to go anywhere at all, even if it is for a short season, those things must be answered. Convictions are an interesting thing. Very frequently, convictions will not tell me what to do, they will tell me what not to do. But it may still not explain to me what to do. In order to know what to do, I need the mind of Christ. Because I need to know how to think. And once I know how to think, I will also know how to hear. And so I need the mind of Christ. So what will my provision be? As I do some people who go, let's say, on extended vacations, maybe a few weeks. What will your provision be to receive, to build yourself up, not on Sunday, but every day? Because if you're going to be built up only on Sunday on your vacation, then don't eat any food until Sunday either. Okay? Let's just put everything out where it is. But it is not that difficult to make a provision for myself. There's nothing wrong with people going on vacation. It's healthy. Take your family somewhere. Enjoy yourself with your family. Enjoy your family. Spend some time together. It's healthy. So I have to consider, what will my provision be? Now, the thought that was coming before the thought that just came is this. is the difference between a spirit-filled believer and a Pharisee? Because sometimes they look the same. So what is the difference between a spirit-filled believer and a Pharisee? And the difference is very simple. The difference is found in James 4:17. The Word of God says that if I know that which is right, if I know what I should do, the good thing to do, if I know what is right and I don't do it, it is sin. Now the Pharisees pride themselves on being outwardly good, outwardly right, and they gauge the condition of their lives and the condition of their souls on the things that they do. For example, they stay moral. And that is good. I mean, they don't commit adultery. That is good. It's good not to commit adultery, not to murder. That is good. And so to murder and those things, fornication, these things are sin, and they are absolutely right about that. But their righteousness is based in their performance. Their righteousness is based in, I didn't cross this line and therefore I am still righteous. There's a serious problem with that. Now in Matthew 23:23, turn there please for a moment. The Word of God says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, they were not hypocrites because they felt one way and acted another. A lot of times believers will define hypocrisy as, I'm doing something, but I don't really feel it. And so I feel like I am hypocritical because I am loving people, but I don't really love them. I don't have any kind of an affection towards them. Or I do things that I should do, but I don't really feel it. And if I don't feel it, that makes me hypocritical. So say some. But that is only if your emotions are the standard. So if your emotions are the standard, then perhaps if you don't feel it, you are hypocritical if you do it. But the emotions are an extremely subjective standard that is apart from the Word of God. It is not God's standard. So God says to them here, "Woe unto you, hypocrites! Woe unto you, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and not leave the others undone." Now, here's an important principle for the believer. The Pharisees are defined in this way. You do certain things, and you think that your outward production, your outward performance, is the foundation of your righteousness. And so because you have done them, you think you are fine with God. But you are not fine with God. You are a hypocrite, Jesus said to the Pharisees. It's not in your production that you find your righteousness. But how many believers out there in Christianity find their righteousness in the fact that they do not murder, commit adultery, steal, or break the speed limit? Right? Isn't that what we have to obey the rules of men, and because we obey the rules of men, we feel righteous. And this is the and as long as, you know, they say, this is the foundation of my righteousness. I'm very good with God. I have not violated anything. And I feel good about myself before God. And I go to church once a week, sometimes even twice. I tithe sometimes $10 even in the offering. And then I once in a while go to the church picnic and play bingo. And of course, it's to raise money for the church. Like, isn't this what so much it happens in Christianity? Not, certainly not in all churches by any measure. but in some. Here's the problem. The weightier matters were undone. The weightier matters were not the issues of production. The weightier matters were the issues of the heart before God. And in James 14, when these matters are undone, it is sin. So in fact, the Pharisee lived in sin, but deceived himself with a misinterpretation of what righteousness is, was blind to his own sin, was blind to spirituality, was blind to the things of God, and the blindness came because he defined his righteousness on a line. I don't cross this line, and I'm doing, and I do these things. And that made him a Pharisee. But the weightier matters, such as finished work application, mercy, these things were left undone. And in James, it is called sin. You have a lot of believers who think they're right on the money with God, and they're living almost their entire life in sin. Unforgiveness, judgmental spirits. If there is something that I know is the right to do, and I do it not, it is sin. I have been taught, I know it is right to be merciful, but I don't give mercy. It is sin, and it makes me a hypocrite. Because I have left out the weightier matters of God's Word. And I have become a hypocrite by doing so. And in the next verse he says to them, "You blind guides." You're blind guides because you don't even see the simplest of truths. He says, you don't even see that it's love one another. What is the greatest of the commandments? Jesus asked the young man. And he said, love the Lord thy God and as your heart, with all your heart and your mind and your strength. And then the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the Pharisees did not love this way. The Pharisees looked, evaluated, judged, compared, and said, I came out better. Well, isn't that what the publican experienced with the Pharisee? But what did God say? I didn't even hear the Pharisee. He spoke to himself. You see, it's these weightier matters of the law that sometimes we Christians like to omit because we think that we are right with God because we have done certain commandments. But we have left out the great commandment. We've left out love one another. I know that I ought to be patient with people, but I am impatient with them. I know that I ought to be kind to people, but I am unkind to people. I know that I ought to be merciful toward people in their failure, but I am not merciful. I deal with them harshly or I react at them. I'm leaving out the weightier matters of the law, and God calls it sin. As a believer, if I want to have a genuine relationship with God, I go into the weightier matters of His Word. I have to live in the finished work and the mercy of God. I have to know what it is to be forgiven and therefore to forgive. I have to know what it is to love one another as my Savior has loved me. I have to know what it is that if I see someone failing or someone says something or does something that I do not care for, I do not react at them, I do not condemn them, I do not cut them down. That's a demonic ministry. What I do is I love them and I am merciful to them and I come to them with a spirit of restoration and reconciliation. Didn't Jesus love the woman caught in adultery? Didn't Jesus love the demoniac? Didn't Jesus love Zacchaeus and Levi? Who did He not express kindness to? The Pharisees. Isn't that like the greatest irony? That they felt that they were right with God, and yet the love of God was not expressed to them alone? Why? Because they already had their righteousness. The trouble is, it was their own and could not stand before God. How is it that I am right with God? I heed the weightier matters of the Word. That is how I am right with God. I know what it means to love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly. I know what it means when the Word of God says, forgive one another. I know what it means when the Word of God says, love one another, and therefore I apply kindness to the person because God is eternally kind to me. Do you believe that you are any better? And I speak to myself as much as anyone else. Do you believe that you are any better than the one whose life is a train wreck, but they are God's train wreck? Do you believe you are any better? Be careful about how you answer that one. Because the answer is they belong to God. And what I am in my life is a steward of the finished work. I'm not a person who goes out to correct people or judge people or show them how it's done. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I am a steward of the finished work. I'm a steward of the love and the mercy of God. I'm a steward of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and kindness and patience and gentleness and meekness. I'm a steward as a believer of the things of God and the heart of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I'm a steward of these things. I'm a steward of the fruits of the Spirit. Yet how often do we operate toward one another? How often does this happen in families or close relationships that we either operate toward one another in some sort of criticism or harshness or judgmental, in unkind words and cutting down, in reactions? Or how often do we operate toward one another in personality rapport? Where my soul likes something about your soul. My intellect likes your intellect. My emotions like the way you treat. How often do we do these things? How often do we say, I like you because you are smart or funny or whatever. And therefore I will have a friendship with you because you are smart or funny or whatever. But these are contrary to the ways of God. They are ignoring the weightier matters. Folks, never ignore the weightier matters because you have managed to fulfill the lighter ones. So, you didn't kill anybody. You know what? Most of the unsaved didn't kill anybody either. Most people in hell are not murderers. Most people in hell are not adulterers or drug addicts or prostitutes. So don't tell me that your relationship is, with God and that your righteousness before Him is based on the same thing that most people in hell possessed. I didn't cross this line. I am righteous. Okay, that means that nobody almost should be in hell. This is why Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And they possessed the outward things. And they were moral. And they did tithe. And they did go to church. And they did help people. And they did do so-called good things. But there's one thing that they didn't have. A Savior. Never leave the weightier matters undone. Never leave the weightier matters undone. If I can speak to somebody with an unkind word, Amy Carmichael said this, if I can speak to somebody with an unkind word, I don't know the love of God. I don't know Calvary's love. If I can give a harsh response, I don't know Calvary's love. Get this, if I can reject people who are not in sin, but simply because I have a personality issue, then I don't know the first thing about love. And if they are in sin, I still don't reject them because the Savior has not. That my ministry changes to be a ministry of reconciliation to them. I don't know the first thing about the love of God. I don't possess the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, but I didn't do what they did. No, you did far worse. You omitted the weightier matters. Because over here in verse 25, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but in they are full of extortion and excess." It is a terrible thing. What did he say to them? He said that they strain a gnat and swallow a camel. They talk about a little piece of sawdust, that they miss the entire beam. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," he said. "You did not live in the weightier matters." The weightier matters are the fruits of the Spirit. And I don't care what your outward production is, and I don't care how good you look. The weightier matters are the fruits of the Spirit. God did not say that I will live according to good looks in the sense of looking like I'm right with God. God said I would live by faith. And that faith produces the fruit of the Spirit in me. There's a big difference. How many people neglect out there the weightier matters? The weightier matters are the place where I get to know the heart of God. The weightier matters are the place where I get to know what it means to operate in grace. The weightier matters are where I get to know what it means to be forgiven and to have my sins forgotten. How many people identify a mistake in somebody and say, they made a mistake? You know what? How do you know they made a mistake? Maybe they have. Some things are just like they murdered somebody, they fornicated. Okay, yeah, they made a mistake. But maybe they did not make a mistake. And only your self-righteous mentality says they made a mistake. Maybe they did exactly what God told them to do. Isaiah walking around naked. Now granted, that was a sovereign call. It's not a general call. It's a sovereign call. But how do you know that God has not told somebody to do something that goes out of our box? God shatters boxes. God is not interested in your box. God is interested in breaking your box so that you can get to know Him and His character and His nature. You put God in your box and you find out something very interesting. That God wasn't in your box, but you were. You set up a little prison box for yourself. And it took you nowhere. This is why Abraham could be the father of our faith, or Paul could be the great apostle. This is why David could be the root through which Jesus came. This is why Rahab could be one of the grandmothers of the Savior. Why? God shatters boxes. Why? Because he's concerned with the weightier matters. Folks, if I could teach people one thing, it's this. Righteousness is not defined by outward production. Righteousness is defined by the finished work, application towards the believer's life. And so long as I think that I'm going to live in an outward production to produce a righteousness in me, I'm in fact living in profound unrighteousness, because I am nothing more than a Pharisee. And a Pharisee, God called him a hypocrite, because they thought they had the law when in fact they missed the boat. Oh, I don't commit adultery, steal those things. Certainly not. He said, you ought to have not left those things undone. You should not leave those things undone. But the others are more important. This is how you can get a Carla Faye Tucker, who was in prison and was executed for terrible crimes, horrible, horrible crimes. But God made her new. God made her new. And the beauty that became that woman's heart was so magnificent that it touched the entire world out of her prison cell. God made her new. And those who would say, oh, she was this or that, and look at what she did, they do not know the first thing about the weightier matters. The weightier matters were the finished work and the mercy of God and faith. How many believers say to themselves, I am right with God because, but they don't know how to operate in faith. They require a sight to be their guide and to be their assurance. They require natural reasoning to be their assurance and their understanding to come from the things that they grasp around them or that they can reason out, rather than simply believing God because He said so. These are the weightier matters. I must not leave the weightier matters undone. I don't care what your sight is like, and either does God. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible was there any place where God honored sight at all? But many places in the Bible, there is a place where God said it means nothing at all. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by natural reasoning, understanding, does it make sense, can I figure out? Why? Because God's ways are above mine, and God's thoughts are above my thoughts, and His ways are above my ways, and I don't know the future, I don't know the end from the beginning, God does. I don't know that what it looks like today is what it will look like tomorrow. Because sight is very fickle. Sight changes on a dime. My understanding is very fickle. My understanding changes on a dime. And so I do not consider these things. I consider the things of God. I consider the promises of God. I consider the heart of God, the character and the nature of God. And these are the only things that I consider. I do not consider what it looks like, how it feels. I do not consider if it makes any sense. I do not consider if I can understand it or if I can see it coming. I guarantee you something. If you can understand it or see it coming or it makes a great deal of sense to you, it's not going to be of God. Do you know why? Because His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. There is no searching them out. There is no understanding the ways of God. No one can understand them. And so I do not make a judgment on the ways of God because I don't understand the ways of God. That is foolishness. That is an effort to operate in unrighteousness. Why do I say it is an effort to operate in unrighteousness? Because the just live by faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Yet how many believers out there try to operate in an unrighteousness because they are operating in the lighter matters according to the law, and they have completely neglected the weightier matter of faith. They have completely neglected the weightier matter that God has a will that it may or may not be the same as my natural will. And if my natural will is opposed to God's perfect will, then my natural will goes down the toilet. Because Paul said that's about what it's worth. Didn't he say, I count it all dung? Everything but dung. It's all dung. Be very careful how you operate in the weightier matters or the matters of the superficial. No. Operate in faith. Trusting God in all things. Encouraging yourself with His promises. And turning to Him in prayer rather than quitting. Operate in faith. Operate in mercy. And though every time that you apply mercy to a failure, you've expanded your capacity for the character of God. So operate in mercy. Love does not submit to doctrine. Doctrine submits to love. And that does not make love sentimental. That makes love perfect. God did not send us to hell. Although doctrinally, quote unquote, He ought to have, because we violated His righteousness. But love sent the Savior. And so love superseded the doctrine of the Old Testament. Well, I have news for you. The Savior lived in the Old Testament times. We believers say to ourselves, well, that was the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. No, Jesus was born, lived, was buried, was crucified, was buried, and rose again in Old Testament times. Jesus ascended in Old Testament times. The New Testament did not begin till Pentecost. And I don't care what the division of your Bible is. The New Testament did not begin until Pentecost. That was the church age. That was when the Holy Spirit was poured out on people. Christ was an Old Testament, if you will, prophet. Not only was He the Savior and the Son of God and God incarnate, He was Old Testament. No, love supersedes my knowledge. Love supersedes my sight. Love supersedes my understanding. Love supersedes everything that I can come up with in my analysis. Love supersedes my circumstances. That's in your Bible. I know there's people on the internet who are going to be listening to this, and they're going to have an issue with it. Well, it's in your Bible. Take it up with God. Maybe you have a problem with His Word. What did Jesus say that the new commandment was that superseded the old one? Love one another. What was the fruit of the Spirit? Follow the law. No. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Don't tell me you have the fruit of the Spirit by the law. If you say you have this, and I'm not talking to anybody here, I'm talking to the general crowd listening on the internet and all. Don't tell me that you have righteousness by the law. Don't tell me that the fruit of the Spirit is the law. You're a liar if you're saying that. It's not. And the Bible says so. And you're contradicting the Bible. You're removing and you're taking away and you're not even saved according to the Word of God. You may want to decide how you deal with that one. We do not neglect the weightier matters. The weightier matters. Jesus defined it. See, there's this thing about the Gospels that I particularly like. They came from Jesus' mouth. As much as I value the teachings of Paul and his writings, and yes, they are the inspired Word of God, and of the prophets, and yes, they are the inspired Word of God, there's something special, at least in my mind, about what came out of Jesus' mouth. This came out of Jesus' mouth. You don't neglect the weightier matters. Forget criticism, sarcasm, negativity, reactions. Forget those things. They're not of God. And I don't care if you can back them up by the law, it's not of God. Remember, in Psalm 94, the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. The rule of iniquity in my heart works mischief by the law. But the weightier matters are the things of the Spirit. The weightier matters, the finished work. Mercy and faith. These are the weightier matters. These are the weightier matters. The finished work, mercy, and faith. I find it interesting that Israel was so geared, and the Pharisees so geared toward the law, that those were not the weightier matters. Those were nothing. You see, if I live in the weightier matters, the law is already written on my heart. If I live in the weightier matters, I won't want to sin. I won't want to do that which is not of God. If I live in the weightier matters, I will not want anything that would separate me from my Savior. If I live in the weightier matters, I will not want to misrepresent His character with a harsh or unkind word, with rejection of a believer, with judgment toward a person's weaknesses or failures, or more often, judgment due to my own understanding and ability to accept God's ways, because I have a preconceived notion of who God ought to be to meet my self-righteous conceptualizations. Hey, God is who He is, and He's not interested in opinion. He has His own, doesn't need mine. The weightier matters, these are the things that reflect the nature of God. These are the things that produce the fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. It's the weightier matters. Don't leave them undone. But live in them. And everything else will fall into place. Amen.